It is wonderful to be back with you. Appreciate so much your presence. Good to have our Florida travelers and our Hawaii travelers to come back and brought the sunshine with them and the good temperatures. We need to send them out every once in a while so we can get that. Very much appreciate your being here. We began first of this year talking about the stubborn subject of stewardship. That is the idea that we are entrusted with certain things by God, and we are supposed to perform as God would have us to perform with those things that are entrusted to us. That's what a steward is, someone who has another person's property and uses it in the way he's supposed to credit that master, to make him happy. Our text is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, if you'd like to turn there. And if not, it is on the screen, so don't worry about it. Verse 9 says, three things. Use hospitality, one to another, without grudging. What we're supposed to do is use hospitality. Who we're supposed to use it to is one to another. How we're supposed to use it is without grudging or complaining. This is the first verse in a series on this subject of stewardship. He goes on to say, as every man hath received the gift. What gift? The gift that enables you to use hospitality. It may be you've got plenty of money so you can take people out to eat, and maybe you've got a spare bedroom so you can supply somebody a place to stay. Could be you're a great cook, you're going to have people over. You've got a certain gift God has given you which enables you to use this hospitality. So as every man has received the gift, even so minister or serve the same one to another. Use the gift God has given you to benefit one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God is another way of describing the gifts that God has given you, the things God has bestowed upon you. We are supposed to be good stewards of that thing that's been entrusted to me. And so if I've been given money or the ability to cook or whatever else I need in order to perform hospitality, I need to perform it one to another without grudging or complaining about it. This would make me a good steward of what God has entrusted to me. And then verse 11 says, if any man speak, now this is talking about other gifts now. Now it's not the gift of hospitality, but the gift of preaching or teaching. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak according to what it is God has given him to say. If any man minister, another word for serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth him. So you see, God is providing the gift. We're using the gift in the way God wants it to be done. And we're told the reason. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our purpose in life as Christians is to bring glory to God. And the way we do it is to follow what God has instructed us to do. Now let's think about that idea as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given me this gift, given me this grace. How am I using that in His service as a good steward? I've received the gift. I've got an ability which God has given me. I've got to use that in the way that glorifies God. So our gifts, whether we're talking about gifts or talents or opportunities or blessings or money or energy or special skills, whatever it is we've got, we need to use it in a way that's going to give God credit. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 7, Paul asks the question, for who maketh thee to differ from another? Think about that for a minute. Who gave you blue eyes? Who gave you brown hair? Who made you 5'9"? Where did all that stuff come from? Why is it you're different than me? Why is it you're a different color than I am? Why is your hair wavier than mine is? Why is all those things different? Where did that difference come from? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And so we know who provided it. It's God. And if God provided it, if I'm merely the recipient of it, He says, now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Why should I be telling you how blue eyes are so much better than brown eyes when I had nothing to do with getting my blue eyes? God gave them to me. And there's nothing for me to brag about. It simply came from God, and He decided that's what I'm going to get. And by the way, I don't think blue eyes are prettier than brown eyes. Our gifts are to edify one another. It's not to glorify ourselves. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And this is the context where Paul is talking about these spiritual gifts. And the spiritual gifts that Christians in Corinth had, they thought of as something that they could use to excel themselves. I'm better than you because I have this gift. You're less than me because you only have that gift, that sort of thing. But he says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm?" Can you imagine that? We assemble and we've got 50 people here, and every one of them's got a different psalm that they're singing. Everyone hath a doctrine. Everyone's teaching some other thing than what others are teaching. Not that anyone's teaching a false doctrine, just teaching different segments of the doctrine. This guy's teaching on the subject of baptism. That guy's teaching on the subject of repentance. This guy back here is teaching an Old Testament lesson. This guy's talking about Moses. They're all true doctrines, but they're all coming at the same time. Hath a tongue, that would be the miraculous gift of speaking in tongues. Hath a revelation, that is something God has directly given to an individual through the Holy Spirit. Hath an interpretation, that is someone who can explain what the tongue is. He says, let all things be done unto edifying. And so you don't have one guy running off with one psalm and one guy running off with one doctrine. Rather, you have an organized system. Decently and in order, he mentions later on. God is not the author of confusion, he says. But all of these things are going to be done. All these things are going to be contributed together in order to edify, to build up everyone. And that can't be done if everybody's doing their own thing at the same time. You know, it's an interesting thing about debates. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the political debates going on. But when they all talk at the same time, you don't hear any of them. Do you ever notice that? You can't understand what they're saying when they're all talking at the same time. And we've got to learn that same thing is true within the Lord's church. We can't all talk at the same time and learn anything and benefit anyone. We have gifts that come from God. That's our first point. We need to understand we have gifts. There are a lot of people who want to say they don't. Oh, I don't have any talents. I don't have any abilities. I can't do anything. Most of the time, the problem is, when we talk about gifts from God, someone says, what is your gift from God? Someone says, well, I don't know how to preach. Oh, well, what else? I'm not a good song leader. Oh, I get nervous when I pray in public. The gifts God gives us are not all wrapped around the public assembly. I don't know why it is whenever we talk about a gift from God, somebody immediately thinks of what we do in the assembly. Hospitality is the first thing we've mentioned. It's not something that goes on in the assembly. Ministering is serving. How many ways do we serve outside of the assembly? Jerry got the elevator fixed this past week. That wasn't done in the assembly. We've got people that mow the grass. We've got people that clean up the building. We got all kinds of things that are going on that aren't about the public worship. And so we talk about what gifts do you have? Broaden your horizons to think about other things you can do within the Lord's church outside of the assembly. We all have gifts. And we must acknowledge those gifts, must admit that we have them. And then, and I know a lot of people don't want to do that. They think that's bragging. You know, well, I've got the ability to song lead. No, that's not bragging. If that's something you've got, then let it be known. You know, every now and then we run out of song leaders. It'd be good to know that you have the ability to do that. Tell somebody you can do that. I was in a congregation one time where they had a list of what is it you're willing to do in worship services and outside of worship service. And if you were willing to do it, you put a black mark on it. One guy had a solid black line through everything. He was willing to do anything and everything the congregation needed him to do. He was the preacher before I got there. I'm not willing to do everything because a lot of things I don't know how to do. But he was willing to do everything. We need to acknowledge I've got the ability to do this thing and I'm willing to do it. And after we acknowledge it, then we need to use these gifts. And as we use them, we recognize some of them work a little rusty on, but they're developing. They're getting better because we are using them. Many of us want to focus on what we cannot do, and we want to focus on what we do not have. Instead of taking the gifts God has provided us and using those gifts to serve other members of the Lord's church, we're spending all of our time talking about what we can't do and what we don't have, which doesn't accomplish anything. In 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 22, and we'll not read all of that because D.D. did a fine job doing so. But the illustration there is the church, the body of Christ, is like a human body. And if there are certain parts of our human body that do not feel like they are worth anything, so the ear says to the eye, I'm not of the body because I'm not the eye. Is he still part of the body? Yep, he's still there. He's still hanging right on there. And he's still doing his function of hearing. But this is the idea. There are certain members of the church that think, because I can't do what that person can do, I'm not even involved in the body. I'm a useless part. I'm an appendage that doesn't need to be here. Like the third wheel or something, you know, kind of thing. Fifth wheel, sorry. We don't have any belonging here, you know, because I'm not the eye. Well, if everyone was the eye, we wouldn't have any hearing. If everyone was the preacher, who would be listening? If every member was not a preacher, then who would be talking? We all need to put our part in to make it an entire body. And there are some body parts that feel like they're not worth anything. There are other body parts that feel like they're superior. The head that says to the feet, I have no need of thee. You ever try to walk on your head? It does not work very well. Don't ask me how I know. But you recognize it's important for all of these parts, even the parts that we don't think our feet are very pretty. We cover them up with socks and shoes. But that does not mean that they're not useful. They're not beneficial. All of us have something we can add as stewards. And stewards do not get judged by what they're not entrusted with. We don't get judged because we haven't done something with an ability we don't have. Simply put, it's like the idea of the two-talent man. He was not condemned because he didn't do anything with the five talents. He didn't get five talents. He got two talents. He was not judged by five talents. He was judged by two talents. And he did exactly the right thing with the two that he had. It did not matter what the five-talent man got. Now, the one-talent man is an interesting character because he didn't have the two talents, didn't have the five talents, and figured what he did have wasn't worth anything. And so he buries it in the ground and winds up being condemned for it. He should have used the one he had. That's what he was going to be judged by, using the one talent that was supplied to him. And so we recognize we have gifts. And as we recognize these gifts, we need to recognize they come from God. God is the one who made us different. God is the one who gave us this ability. Secondly, we must acknowledge that we have them. Instead of trying to skirt around and say, I can't do anything, accept the fact that you do have certain abilities. It may be just the ability to give a smile. It may be just a ability to give a firm handshake. It may be just showing up to worship services, but there's something you can do that's going to build up everybody else. Do that thing. Acknowledge that you've got that ability and then use it. And then we must use it as God intended. We've already talked about hospitality. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If we're going to minister, do it the way God would have us to do. There's another list that's given to us in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 6. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And, of course, this is the age of miraculous gifts where a person would have miraculous ability to prophesy. We don't have that today. Or ministry, or which is another word for service. Let us wait on our ministering. That is, do your serving. He that teacheth, on teaching. Do that as God would have you to do it. He that exhorteth, on exhortation. Someone just giving encouraging words. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. That is, with singular devotion in what it is you're giving. He that ruleth with diligence. Let the person who's got a position of authority recognize how important that is and be diligent and careful in the way he carries it out. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Not begrudging, not hating that he has to pardon somebody, but being cheerful that he has the ability to offer forgiveness and mercy to somebody. And we use them to help one another. Remember, these differences are not for self-service. They are provided so we can build one another up. And that's why we all have different abilities. You know, you may be a very strong individual, and we need help with some item that has to be lifted up, and I can't do it. I'm not that strong. And you can come right up, and no big deal, you know. And it's like Rusty does, you know, he just carry something. I'd take four of me to carry. He can carry it like this. Where do you want it? You know, we need strength like that. We need people who are willing to stand before an audience. We need people who are willing to lead singing. We need people who are willing to join their voices in the person who's leading the singing. But recognize everybody's contributing their part to benefit the whole. We are blessed so that we might bless others. Look at 2 Corinthians for just a moment. Chapter 1, verse 4. Speaking of God, the God of all comfort, he's called in the previous verse. He says, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Every problem I've had, God has provided me comfort in, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Why has God helped me out of all the jams I was in? So that I might help others out of the problems that they are in, which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What is it I learned about God that helped me to get over this hurdle? Well, whatever it is, I can share it with you to help you get over your hurdle. God has comforted me so that I can comfort you with the same comfort that he's provided. It's a reciprocal nature within Christianity. So the ability we're given is not for bragging. It's not for getting praise. It's not for making money. It's not for taking advantage of those who have less ability. We are given different abilities so that we can contribute and work together and unite. And we see the need, the dependence on every other member of the Lord's church. Going back to verse 11. When we recognize the gift is from God, and when we accept that we do have it, we use it as God intended, we help others with it, then God is glorified. And why shouldn't he be? It's his gift that he gave. It's his plan on how it's supposed to be used. It's his people that are getting benefits from our using it. And it's his church that gets united through the entire process. If any man speak, that's your gift. Let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him use his voice in saying what God wants to be said. If any man minister, if any man serving, let him do it as the ability which God giveth him. God has granted him this ability. Let him serve in the way God would have him to serve, with the ability God has provided, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Mentioned this morning that if we do good and people see the good we do, then God is glorified. I meant to mention and didn't get it done. If we do good works, but men don't see them, then God does not get glorified. You recognize that? Two components for God to get glorified. We do good work and men see those good work, and then they will glorify God. But if we do good works and nobody sees it, nobody observes it, then they're not going to be glorifying God. We've got a component that's missing. It's the same thing, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You take out one of those components, you don't have the same result. Well, so it is here. We have a gift. That's number one. We need to use it as God said. That's number two. Number three, God gets glorified. You see that? Not if you do. Nobody sees it. We'll do it again. All right. God has given us a gift. We use it as God said. That results in God being glorified. Everybody see that? Two more. Okay. I know you got it. I'm kidding at you. And so, if we remove a component, it doesn't happen. If we have a gift, but we abuse it, or we don't use it, God doesn't get glorified. And that's the purpose of our existence, for God to be glorified. And so when he has given us a gift, we have to use it the way he said we're supposed to use it, so that he gets the glory, he gets the credit for it. If we fail to use it, or we use it improperly, God gets nothing out of that. Why is that guy such a showboat? Why is that guy such a complainer? Why is that guy such and such? Whatever it is we're doing that's not what God would have us to do, it will result in God not being glorified. I invite you to take your songbooks, number 263. I failed to bring mine up with me. 263, we're going to sing this song to encourage any that have a need of obeying the gospel. And as we've been talking about the subject of stewardship, really we're focusing on Christians, people who've already obeyed the gospel. They recognize
God has given me the gifts. I'm supposed to use the gifts. Heaven is a result of using the gift. They understand all of that, and that's good. And now we just need to do it. We need to perform it. And if we haven't been, we need to repent and start using the gifts that God has given us. But you may be here and not be a Christian at all. You've never yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches you have to hear God's word. God has given us ears to hear with. We need to believe. We've got a mind that can understand what it says, and we can believe it. We need to confess our belief. We can open our mouths and acknowledge, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to repent. That also involves the mind, recognizing the sin that took us in the wrong direction, and now we're going to turn it around. And we take the body and have it baptized. We submit to baptism, have it totally immersed in water, whereby our sins are washed away. God has given you all these various components to bring about your salvation. You need them all. They all work together. But as the body of Christ works together and your human body works together, so it is very often we're not doing it just right. We're not listening when God's word is preaching. We're not willing to confess with our tongue, but rather we'd rather use our blasphemy and profanity and lying and so on. We need to recognize all these things God has given us are supposed to be used the way He intends them to be used. Heaven depends on it. The glory of God depends on it. If you have need of responding to the Lord's invitation or confessing a fault and praying for repentance, we pray that you'll